Everyone, all those who are here today, just like to say thank you for being here. All those who are online, thank you for being here with us. And perhaps we could just go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, oh, the one true God, thank you, Jesus, for being who you are. Thank you, Lord God, for your mercy, your grace, and truth. For your leading, guiding, and direction, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for your abundant mercies. Though, Lord God, sometimes we veer off to the right and to the left, Lord God, you, by your great mercy's sake, steer us back on the right path. I thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing today in all the hearts and minds of people everywhere. Those who trust in you, Lord God, and who put their faith and hope and confidence in you. Lord God, we pray now that you would lead, guide, and direct tonight's service. Oh Lord, that you would speak to hearts everywhere. We pray, Lord, the blood of Jesus now to touch not only our eyes, but our ears and our hearts. I pray, Lord God, that the devil would be driven out of here. That the devil would have no place to operate, Lord God. That he would have no place to speak to people in the wrong way, Lord God. That he couldn't steal the word of God from people's hearts. Lord God, we just ask that you would, oh Lord God, send your chasing angels after the devil. Send him scattering 10,000 different ways. Away from here. We thank you, Lord, for your protection now. And that your spirit, Lord God, would just take over and take control. For we invite you, Lord God. We invite the Holy Ghost. We invite the Lord Jesus Christ to be here with us tonight.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
To be here with us and among us in the hearts, minds, walking the corridors.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, Lord, of every area of our lives to illuminate and enlighten those dark areas that we need to see through your word, through your spirit, and through your power, Lord God. We pray the blood of Christ now over every individual. We pray the blood of Jesus, oh Lord God, to touch every ailment, every malady. And Lord God, we pray that your presence would be felt here tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise God.
Praise you, Lord Jesus.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Well, I just would like to start off with an announcement. I know that we have church picnic coming up on May 27th. And I would like to just ask anyone who can make it, if you can be there on Monday. I don't know that they're calling for much rain, maybe a 20 or 30% chance of rain. Although I like the rain for the reason of that we wouldn't have to experience another drought like we did last year. But it does sound like we should have some fairly decent weather as far as that goes, by the grace of God. And but also by the grace of God, we seem to be getting those old-time soaking rains lately, like we years ago we used to see, even growing up as kids, used to have those kind of rains. And so I praise God for that. But that picnic is the 27th on a Monday, Memorial Day. And so looking forward to that. And if there's anything else, I'm not quite sure, except that you would pray for us too, because June 3rd, we will be leaving on a missions trip also. June 3rd, there are people that have called to be baptized over in Pennsylvania and also in South Carolina. And so it probably won't be an overly long trip or anything like that, but maybe 2 weeks or give or take two and a half at the most, and be back here. But just if you would keep us in prayer for that, please. And that the Lord would provide the ways and means to have the gas money, enough money for two hotel rooms, of course, and food and whatever else we would need, but our safety in hand. And so anyways, a bit of an adventure happened too here. Was the other day, I know that the Lord's sure is merciful and gracious. Now, the other day we were changing that lock in the bathroom back there, and we took the lock off, and then I walked into the door. I was going to use the restroom, and I closed behind me, not thinking, and I locked myself in the bathroom there. And it was unbelievable. And I sat there on my knees trying to work on that little lock piece and trying to get it out. Wouldn't even budge. And then thankfully, Shirley came to my rescue. She came through that door and made the phone call, and the guy told her to just use that one piece and turn the knob, turn that little bolt thing, and it'll open it up. And that's what happened. So I thank God for that.
Amen.
So, why don't we just go ahead now and just give God all the praise and all the glory. I'm hoping that we can go to that song here I was just thinking about now. Just here. I'm not so sure I'm comfortable with 104 yet, but if we can do it if you want.
It's up to you, Tim.
But there is another one that I was looking at here that I'm hoping we can go to. I was just looking at it, and I'm embarrassed to say that I can't seem to find it. But one thing I would like to do is go to 95 for sure. Hallelujah, He's an answering God. And He knows how to answer our prayers. And we get into trouble and He's there for us. Amen. Hallelujah, He's an answering God. Hallelujah, He's an answering God. I prayed in Jesus' name, and by faith the answer came. Hallelujah, He's an answering God. Hallelujah, He's an answering God. Hallelujah, He's an answering God. I prayed in Jesus' name, and by faith the answer came. Hallelujah, He's an answering God. One more time. Hallelujah, He's an answering God. Hallelujah, He's an answering God. I prayed in Jesus' name, and by faith the answer came. Hallelujah, He's an answering God. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father.
Thank you, God.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Well,
praise you, Jesus.
Okay, well, maybe the Lord wants us to go there. I guess I don't really know the exact melody for this, but why don't we just go there? I don't know how to read notes. I'm utterly ignorant of reading notes. But I always go by memory. So if we can just try that one and see how that goes. He had compassion on me, number 104, 104 in the chorus book. He had compassion on me. Praise God. I know that I've come to the place in my life where I can say that Jesus is everything to me. And I can say that there's nothing more important in life to me than serving God. Now, I can't say just about me only, but I know all those out there who feel just like me understand the gravity and have the fear of God in their hearts, but yet have that rest and hope. And boy, we need that today like never before, because I know that there are people, even Christians, that are caught up in their own prison house of despair, heartache, losing hope, lacking great faith to overcome. And how we need that power, and how we need His presence, and how we need to be able to get into that place where we are able to seek after God. And you, when we pray, and when you worship Him and seek after Him, you feel His presence. Amen.
Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
That's
what
we need. Because that's where the power is. And He's my everything. And I know for many of you, He is too.
Praise you, God.
But in 106 in the chorus book here, there is a song called "He Is My Everything." Why don't we go there and sing that song? He is my everything. He is my all. He is my everything, both great and small. He gave His life for me, made everything new. He is my everything. Now how about you? He is my everything. He is my all. He is my everything, both great and small. He gave His life for me, made everything new. He is my everything. Now how about you? One more time. He is my everything. He is my all. He is my everything, both great and small. He gave His life for me, made everything new. He is my everything. Now how about you, Lord God? Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. How many understand the mercy and grace of God is so wonderful and refreshing? Oh, the wonderful and great pardon that we find through the grace of Jesus Christ. Shed blood on the cross that he had died on Calvary so that you and I wouldn't have to pay that penalty. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord.
And that he would have mercy and grace on us whenever we slip and fall, make a mistake, have wrong attitudes and hearts about things. Oftentimes, I have to catch myself too. We all fall short of the glory of God. But the Bible says a righteous man gets back up. Even if he falls seven times, I'm paraphrasing. Even if he falls seven times, ten times, he gets back up and doesn't let the devil play on his mistake. Amen. We have to find that place of utter grace, that knowledge of understanding that the Lord, if we truly mean well, if we truly have a heart to serve God, and we truly are concerned about the welfare of not only our own state, but that of other people, then you can rest assured that you're on the right road. If you didn't have a care about your own shortcomings, if you didn't care about where you were at spiritually, then I would probably say you need to look in the mirror, and I need to look in the mirror, and we all need to look in the mirror and take a good, long, hard look and see, Lord, where's the fire? Where is that fear of God? Amen. But we know that it is no secret that he knows how to pardon. He knows how to help us overcome. He knows how to show mercy and grace. And he shows us the way how to treat other people by his example. Amen. So, why don't we go to number 116 in the chorus book and go to that song, It Is No Secret. Amen. I'll wait for Shirley's long cue.
It's like I don't have the key written down. Let's try this.
Is no secret what God can do, what he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. What God can do.
I'm going to raise it.
Yeah, thank you. It is no secret what God can do, what he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. One more time. It is no secret what God can do, what he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. It's no secret at all. Praise God. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
And there is one more I'm hoping that we can go to tonight. 130 in the chorus book. He's my Lord and my God. If we can go there. He's my Lord and my God. He's not just a stranger to me. When I look past the veil, it was easy to see. He's my Lord and my God. He's my Lord and my God. He's not just a stranger to me. When I look past the veil, it was easy to see. He's my Lord and my God. He's my Lord and my God. He's not just a stranger to me. When I look past the veil, it was easy to see. He's my Lord and my God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord. Oh, praise God. Those oldies but goodies. Wonderful praise and worship music. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Well, we're going to go ahead and quickly just take up tithes and offerings, and then we'll go ahead and pray for it. And Sister Shirley will then come forth. I know that the Lord's put something on her heart tonight. So, looking forward to that, and I know you are too. Amen. Praise God. Oh Lord. If anybody has a prayer need, request, please feel free to let us know. And I know that God still answers prayer. I know that my sister had had bronchitis from a TB test that she had had for this job. And she called me, needed prayer, and we prayed for her. The very next day she felt better.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
And so I praise God for answered prayer. That I know the Lord is in the business of healing. He says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And He is well able to heal all maladies and ailments. He wants us to come forth with the faith that will receive it. Amen?
Amen.
Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, thank you, Lord, now for these tithes, gifts, and offerings. Pray that you would use it for your glory. Bless the giver, Lord God. I pray, O Lord, now that you would help us to continue using this, O Lord, for your glory, for your purpose, to be good stewards. Under the blood and in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Praise God. And I better change that battery for Shirley. Okay, praise God. All else fails, just use Groot. Groot is not a cologne. It's something entirely different to get that open. And praise God. I know Sister Shirley will be here momentarily. And she just went to use the restroom, and she'll be right back for all those who are awaiting online. And while we're waiting, perhaps we could just sing a song called Have Faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God for deliverance. Have faith in God. Oh, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God for deliverance. Have faith in God. Thank you, Lord. And Shirley is now back. Praise God. Sister? Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise God. I'm so glad for everyone here tonight.
Amen.
I know we're just a small crowd, but that's okay. God's here. I'm so thankful for everybody online, too. I just, wow. God's been good to us. It's amazing how He helps us in all kinds of situations and matters of life that come about in our lives. And do praise the Lord. Do praise God for all of that. Let's just pray as we begin here tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank You, God, for Your goodness, Your mercy, Your kindness to us, the hope that You give us, Lord, in eternal life. Oh, Lord Jesus, we love You, Lord. And God, I just pray, oh God, that You'd help us, Lord, that You'd help us to grow, Lord, in grace and mercy, oh Lord, in Your ways, Lord. Oh God, that we'd get to that place, oh Lord. Oh, where we have that perfect praise, Lord, where we can, oh God, give You our hearts, oh Lord, where we can surrender our will to You, Jesus. God, I pray, oh God, that You'd be here, Lord, in this place. Oh God, that You'd make us alive, God. Oh Lord, that You'd help us, oh Lord, to, oh God, put the whole armor on, to possess, oh Lord, the kingdom, God, Lord, with Your help, with Your mercy, oh Lord, with Your guidance, oh Lord Jesus. We need You here in this place, Lord. I'm asking You to bind every contrary spirit. Oh, Lord, everything that would hinder, to seek to destroy. Oh, God, delay. Oh, God, cause confusion, conflict, trouble. Lord, we give it all to You, Jesus, in the name of Jesus. By the power of the blood, Lord, we ask that You would be here to help us. Oh, God, to lead, guide, to direct, to help us, Lord. Oh, Lord, without You, we can do nothing. I thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord. God is good. Praise the Lord. I know Brother Tim was telling a little bit about that bathroom lock, and what happened is it just stopped working. And we didn't know what else to do for sure, so we called a locksmith, and he came over. It's kind of strange to have to call a locksmith. But we did that, and lo and behold, he looked at it, and he said, it's shot. And he said, you know what, though? He said, you can go to Menards and buy another lock. And he wasn't going to charge us. You know, he didn't charge us at all for coming out and looking at our lock. He took the old one apart and just, you know, he said, well, it's not working. So we were able to go and buy one for not so much money, and Lord helped us with that. It was a bit of an adventure. But, you know, God is good. And He knows how to help us in every detail of our life. And that I know. Amen. Praise the Lord. We've been talking a bit about spiritual warfare in some of our studies here, and there's a particular aspect that I want to cover here tonight. It's not a complicated aspect at all, and it's something we can all render to the Lord. It's something we can all give to God. And that aspect of spiritual warfare that I plan to speak of with the Lord's help tonight is praise. Praise. We can give God. We can render the cast of our lips. We can praise the Lord. We can praise Him with our heart. And He can use that. That can, oh my, change everything. It can change all kinds of circumstances in our lives if we'll just praise the Lord. That's right. Praise the Lord. So we're going to go into this study with the Lord's help here. I'm going to call it perfected praise. Perfected praise. And I just thought, wow, that was kind of interesting as we get into Matthew, the 21st chapter, and he talks about perfected praise. And we'll get into that a bit, but the definition in Strong's for this, the use of the word in the context there in Matthew, means complete and thorough. It means prepared and it means restored. And I thought that was just really interesting that it had that connotation in that verse. But as we begin here, let's go to Matthew, the 21st chapter here for a bit and read some scripture here. The Lord is good. He's going to help us here tonight. Oh, how we need Him. There's no one like the Lord. So we're going to go to the 21st chapter of Matthew. And we'll begin by reading from the very first part of this chapter. Here in verse 1 it says, "And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. And it says, All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass." This is quite interesting as we begin this study here. It, of course, was fulfilling prophecy from Zechariah, the 9th chapter. But here we have Jesus. It's toward the end of his ministry on earth, those 3.5 years that Jesus fulfilled in his ministry to bring forth the gospel, to usher it in, that new covenant. And here he is, he's coming near into Jerusalem, and he's not quite there yet. He's there's a couple little towns by the Mount of Olives, Bethany and Bethphage. They're both close there, and they're both identified in the 19th chapter of Luke. And here it just says Bethphage. But they were come to this place, and the Mount of Olives was right there also. And then Jesus had a plan, though. There was something that he had to fulfill in the scripture that had to be done. So he sent two of his disciples out, and he told them to go into the village that was right there, and that they would find an ass and a colt with her, and they were to loose that colt. And I'm not sure if the mother donkey ass came with the colt. I'm not sure. The other renditions there in Luke and Mark, definitely, and also in John, make us to know that Jesus sat on the colt, and it's quite possible that the mother also came along with it. I wouldn't have wanted to have left its young, I'm sure. But it's so interesting because when we go into Mark and Luke, we realize that no one had ever sat on that young donkey. No one had ever sat on that colt. And here's Jesus, the Creator. And what does he pick? He asks them to go find an ass tied with her colt and to bring them, to loose them and bring them. And then he said, if anybody asks you, why are you doing this? Just say, the Lord has need of this. The Lord hath need of this colt. And I think that's so precious. The Lord knew the answer. He knew that there would be a donkey just where it was, and the colt, and it was just going to be there to fulfill the will of God. And praise the Lord, it happened like that. They were asked, and they said, the Lord hath need of this animal. And they were able to bring that animal to Jesus. And wow, that's was really, you know, fulfilling prophecy. Let's just look at Zechariah, the 9th chapter here, just a moment here, just to read it in prophecy. It's also the 9th verse of that 9th chapter, Zechariah. And it goes, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. You know, a king would not usually ride on a donkey. It was a lowly creature and not well esteemed. And, you know, it wouldn't go very fast. It wouldn't be a creature you could take into the battlefield or ride in a parade, usually. You know, it just wasn't like that at all. But it showed the humility that Jesus had as he was God manifest in the flesh, come to earth to save us. And here he is. He's coming into Jerusalem, and he's riding upon the foal of an ass, you know, just, oh my, so perfectly representing the gospel message there. But there in Zechariah, it says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. It says, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He was their king, whether they knew it or not. He was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Here he was coming. He was coming to save them from their sins, to restore that fellowship that they had lost with the Creator. Here he was coming, and it was something. It was something to rejoice greatly about. It was something to shout of. Oh, it was something wonderful, fulfilling Scripture, and very, very precious. And we'll see what happens as we continue this 21st chapter of Matthew. But here he is, and Jesus is coming. It says in verse 4 of chapter 21 of Matthew, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh. Oh, they didn't want to acknowledge him as king, did they? But here he was, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass and a colt, the foal of an ass. And praise the Lord, the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. And verse 7 tells us, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. Obviously, both the mother and the colt were together there. But Jesus, from the other scriptures, was on the colt. And it's amazing. It had never been ridden before. But here he is. I don't think that donkey was balky or protesting or anything. You know, he knew the voice of the Creator. And there they came into Jerusalem. And it goes on to say, and a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And verse 10 tells us, and when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? Who is this? Let's also go to Luke. I just want to bring out the same story in the book of Luke. It gives us a few more details. And if we look here in Luke 19, here it tells us the same details about the colt, except they were loosing the colt. The owners thereof said unto them, why loose ye the colt? Verse 34, they said, the Lord hath need of him. Verse 35 says, and they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. It was a royal welcome. They were welcoming the Savior. They were welcoming a king at this point, and there was a great deal of rejoicing at this moment. It tells us in verse 37 here in Luke, "And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen." Now, I think this is pretty worthy at this point. The Lord had done so much in that space of time that he had been with them, bringing forth the kingdom of God. But how many times do you read of the whole multitude praising him and rejoicing and crying out and saying, "Hosanna"? I don't know that it ever happened before this moment. It seemed like here he was, and he was doing all those wonderful miracles continually, opening the blind eyes and the deaf ears and releasing those that were full of devils. All of those mighty works, even raising the dead at times. And how many times was he recognized? How many times was he given praise? I don't think it happened all that often at all. But here finally, it's like there was a special moment, and they must have realized that this was a very significant moment. And all at once, it was in their hearts, the whole multitude, those that were there in that city, and even from the Mount of Olives as they entered into the city, they sprawled their clothes, their garments, their outer garments, I would suppose, in the way, and they were rejoicing. Other places tell us that they had palm branches, and they were waving them, and they were saying, "Hosanna," which means "save now." And they were worshiping the Lord, it says, with a loud voice here in Luke, for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, "Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And wow, it must have been quite a commotion. I'm sure it had to be heard. It must have been a great roar. You know, if you were at a baseball game or something and somebody made a home run, you'd hear, you know, this great roar, most likely. Everybody would be yelling and standing on their feet, I suppose, and clapping their hands, maybe, and all of those kind of things that people do when they're happy. But finally, this praise that needed to be rendered to our Lord and Savior was given him. The people, the multitude, they were crying with a loud voice and praising the Lord, saying "Hosanna" and rejoicing in all the mighty works that they had seen. Finally, that praise and honor was given him. But you know, even though he so deserved it, there were protesters. There were protesters. It was the religious people. It was the Pharisees. They were protesting. And it tells us in verse 39 here in Luke, "And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples." Oh my, finally, that time of glory. And yet, here are protesters saying, "Master, rebuke thy disciples." Oh my, tell them to be quiet. But Jesus answered, it tells us in verse 40, "And said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out." Oh my, oh, he needed that praise. It was to be given him. He was so worthy. He was so worthy. He was to be that lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. And he was worthy. As we know in the book of Revelation, he was the only one that was worthy to open up the book that was sealed. He was the only worthy one that could open it up. And here, finally, that moment came when they were worshiping him. But yet, there were the Pharisees. Oh my, they should have recognized him. They should have recognized him more than the others. They were the ones that had knowledge of the scriptures. They should have seen all those many, many prophetic utterances and recognized Jesus as a Savior, as a Messiah, as the one that was to come, fulfilling scripture, every single detail that was prophesied of him. And Jesus answered when they said, "Rebuke thy disciples." He answered and said, "I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out." Oh my, there was going to be a protest among the stones if that rejoicing stopped. And you know what? There's great rejoicing in heaven. I can tell from the books those chapters in Revelation that the saints on high there are worshiping our God. They're giving him praise. They're giving him glory. And he is worthy. He is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of our worship. And we need to give it, that fruit of our lips. We need to render it to our God. We need to give it to him. And here Jesus said, if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out, oh my. Oh my, it's time to praise the Lord, isn't it? It was time back then. It was time that he finally got some of that worship that he so deserved.
Amen.
But wow, the stones would have cried out if they should have held their peace at that time. Oh my, oh my. People that didn't understand, people that didn't want to give him the honor and the glory, the esteem that he was so deserving of, the religious people. Let's go back to Matthew 21 here. And as we stop there in verse 10 in this chapter, it says here, and when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And of course, we went into Luke. There were more details. And verse 11 says, and the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. So that was what they considered at that moment. Of course, this was a moment they had waited for. We do know that the Jewish people were hoping that somebody would come and save them from Roman bondage. And I have a feeling at this moment that they thought Jesus would perhaps do that. Maybe they anticipated that at this moment. And they were eager for that. But Jesus didn't come for that reason at all. He didn't come to save them from Roman bondage. He came to save their souls, something that was so much more important, that they could be free from sin and know what it's like to live abundantly, that abundant life in Christ Jesus. Yes. That's why he came. And he didn't go to the palace where they could have proclaimed him a natural king. He didn't go there to Herod's palace at all. But instead, we find out in verse 12 that he went into the temple. The road divided at a certain place, and one part of the road would go to Herod's palace, and the other would go to the temple. Jesus went into the temple, it tells us in verse 12, and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. Oh my, there was another work he had to do. He had to correct something that was wrong there in that temple. My, there were, again, the people that should have known better. There they were. They were selling their things. They made the people change their own coins for temple money, rather. And they would charge an added price. They were extortioners. They were excessively collecting money. They were usuries. The users of the Lord's money and exchanging it inappropriately at all. And besides that, they were selling things in the temple, all kinds of things that should not have been done. And the Lord had to correct that before he could go to Calvary. It had to be corrected, obviously. And it tells us in verse 13, and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. Oh my, Jesus didn't go in there in a light manner at all. It says he cast them out. He had words with them, obviously. He cast them out that sold and bought in the temple. And he looked at their tables and he overthrew them. It was all going flying at this moment because our Lord was going to have his say at that moment. He overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. Oh, so it was done. That had to be corrected at this moment. And you know what happened after he corrected it? It tells us in verse 14, and the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. Oh my, the works of God could be done. Oh, when this other matter was taken care of, the blind could come to him and receive their sight. The lame could come to him and be healed. so that they could walk. And I'm sure there were other sick folk that were delivered and healed at that moment. And verse 15 tells us, and when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. There was still worship. There wasn't enthusiasm still among the people when they saw the mighty works of God. They were crying, Hosanna to the Son of David, and they were sore displeased. Speaking of those that were in charge there, those that were the chief priests and scribes, wonderful things were being done, but it didn't please them. It upset them, obviously, greatly. I believe they were sore displeased. And verse 16 tells us, and said unto him, hearest thou what these say? They were worshiping Jesus. And again, they're protesting. They're protesting, you know, and just as they were protesting on the way there, telling Jesus to have his disciples be quiet. Rebuke your disciples, Lord. Rebuke them, Master, so they'll be quiet. But here they're telling also, do you hear, Lord? Do you hear what they're saying? And I don't suppose they called him Lord. He was just a man to them, obviously. And said unto him, hearest thou what these say? And then Jesus saith unto them, yea, have you never read? Out of the mouth of babes and suckling, thou hast perfected praise. Oh my, he was quoting from Psalms, the 8th chapter. Let's go there a minute. Let's go to Psalms, the 8th chapter. I think it's so amazing here. It says, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. Isn't that amazing that out of the mouths of the little ones, there would be perfected praise, that mature praise that it seems the connotation was here from the Strong's, a restored praise. Let's look also at Psalms here. Looking at the first verse to begin here in that 8th chapter of Psalms. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. See, that first verse utters praise unto the Lord. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Oh, there's none like our Lord and Savior, is there? There's none other who is so worthy to be praised. There is none other with such an excellent name. None at all. And then it says in verse 2, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. I think this is so interesting. It says, in this case, it says, thou hast ordained strength. And you know why? Because praise brings forth strength.
Yes.
It brings forth strength. And it says, because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. The Lord actually gave us a wonderful tool when we praise and worship the Lord. We have strength. When we worship him, the Lord uses our praises to do his work. Here it talks about that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. That perfected praise. Oh my, the Pharisees were upset at those praises that were going forth. Maybe down deep inside they realized that things were going on that they didn't want to see happen. It was more than they had ever bargained for. Oh my, the Lord was doing a work in those people and they didn't like it there at the time of Jesus. But there was strength in that praise. Praise brings forth a strength. Oh my, to help us to win the battles, to defeat the foe, to go forward, to have victory in Jesus. There's strength in praise. Praise the Lord. And why is it that sometimes it's so hard to praise the Lord? Why is it? There's strength in it. There's victory in it. We go forward when we praise the Lord. Battles are won. We can be delivered when we praise the Lord. Oh, there's so much that is done when we praise our God. Oh my. But while there are those that seek to silence the praises of God's people. How many churches can you go into and hear true praise that comes from the heart? And we know that the Lord is looking for those that worship Him in spirit and in truth. There's a praise that comes forth, a perfect praise, a perfected praise from those that have been redeemed and set free and bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord for His mighty works. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to go to Hosea just for a moment here and just point out a thing here. If we go to Hosea, the 14th chapter, the last chapter of Hosea, just want to read a couple of verses here. It says in verse 1, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words, and turn to the Lord, and say unto Him, take away all iniquity, and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Oh, I think this is good here. It talks about a restoration. We know that old Israel fell. They fell into sin. They were always getting into trouble, really. And the Lord, God Almighty, would get fed up with their backslidings. And there were times when He just sent judgment, and there were times He didn't even bother to send judgment because He knew it wouldn't do them any good. But they fell into the hands of the enemy time and time again because there was iniquity in their heart. There was sin in their lives. But there was a restoration that the Lord Jesus brought forth. He would bring forth salvation. He would bring forth salvation so that iniquity could be taken away. By the blood of Jesus Christ, we could be redeemed from our sin. So it says in verse 2 here in Hosea, take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto Him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. And praise the Lord, if God has saved us by His grace and His mercy, oh, we have so much to thank Him for, so much to give thanks and homage to Him, oh, who has saved us from a world of sin, who has saved us from hell. Oh, praise the Lord. And it says, so will we render the calves of our lips. That's talking about praising the Lord. That's talking about worshiping Him. And we can do that. If He set us free from sin, from that bondage, from that enslavement of the devil, then we can praise the Lord. We can praise the Lord indeed. Amen. Let's go to the 13th chapter here. And looking at Hebrews 13, it talks about sacrifices of praise. Let's look at verse 15 here in Hebrews 13. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Oh, praise the Lord. That's clearly defined there. It's something that we're to offer, it says, to God continually, always to have that praise on our heart. The sacrifice of praise, you know, sometimes it doesn't come easy. Sometimes, you know, maybe you're fighting a battle and, you know, oh, at that moment, you know, you're maybe would rather say, woe is me. But you know what? There's a tremendous thing that happens when we praise the Lord, when we offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. And like I said, it's defined beautifully here. That sacrifice of praise is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. That praise that comes from our heart, rendering it to God. Of course, in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, it says, in everything give thanks, for that is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. No matter what our circumstances are, we are to give thanks to the Lord. He can turn around everything that goes wrong. The most horrendous of circumstances, our God can reverse. He can make us free. He can set us free. He can deliver us. He can heal us. There is nothing too hard for God. And we are told to offer continually to Him the fruit of our lips, giving praise, giving thanks to His name. And we also know from Psalms, the 22nd chapter in the third verse, and we quote this verse quite often. It says, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." We know that our God lives in the praises. He inhabiteth the praises of Israel, the praises of his people. He lives in those. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. It's expected of us to praise him. If he's saved us, if he's delivered us, if he's set us free, it's so expected of us that we would praise him. And I know Jeremiah, the 17th chapter, says, "Heal me, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise." Oh, he's our praise. We live in his world. When we give our heart to him, we can live in that realm of praise. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. We praise you, God. Praise you, Lord. Let's also look at Psalm 27. So many verses. The psalmist, David, was always praising the Lord. That was one of his high points. He was able to praise the Lord. Maybe that's why he was called a man after God's own heart, because he knew how to praise the Lord. Even in the midst of great trouble and despair, he would praise the Lord and things would turn around. There's victory after victory in the life of David, because he knew how to praise the Lord. Oh my, what victories there can be in all of this. Let's just look at that 27th chapter of Psalms here. Oh, I'm going to go to the fourth verse to begin here. And this kind of shows us David's heart, I feel. It says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock." And verse 6, "And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy."
Oh, amen.
"I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord." Oh, praise the Lord. David knew what it was like. He knew what it was like to be in that time of trouble. And he knew what it was like to be hidden by the Lord in that secret place of the Lord, that pavilion, oh, that special place where the Lord takes us to. And you know what? We can be in those heavenly places with Christ too. You know, it's so beautiful. I know most days it seems like Brother Tim and I have opportunity to pray. And you know what? It's so beautiful because the presence of the Lord comes down. You know, it's so beautiful. We'll pause after a while. Oh, can you feel the presence of the Lord? There he is. He's right there in our midst. He's there to, oh God, he's there to meet our needs and to answer. Oh, and we can rejoice in that. But how precious it is, we can offer in his tabernacle those sacrifices of joy that come from our heart, those praises. We can sing, oh, we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And we can sing, oh my, we can sing unto the Lord a new song, because he hath put a new song in our heart, even praises to our God. And Psalms 40, many shall hear it and see and trust in the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord, our God is good. Oh, there's many places to go. But I'm not going to go to just every place where it talks about praise. Let's, though, however, go to Psalm 69. Just to catch a few verses anyway. Verse 30, "I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving." And it says in verse 31, "This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hoofs." Isn't that interesting? Isn't that good? What really pleases the Lord? It's something that comes from a true heart. When we can praise the Lord with purity because we've been forgiven and there's not sin in our life because we've given it to the Lord and he's taken it from us. So we can praise the Lord with a song, and we can magnify him. We can enlarge him with thanksgiving, the giving of thanks. Oh, praise the Lord. "This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or Moloch than those carnal offerings that they had to offer for sin in the old covenant. But there was something beyond that that pleased the Lord even more than that. And that was the praises of God that would come from a heart, oh my, a heart that loved the Lord. Let's look at Psalm 70 here, since we're right close here. Verse 4, let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee, and let such as love thy salvation say continually, here it is again, rendering continually the fruit of our lips that is praises to our God. And here it says, say continually, let God be magnified, let God be praised, let him be enlarged in our life. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's say that continually. Those praises that need to come to our God.
Yes, amen.
Amen. That song that comes from our heart because of what God has done for us. He set us free. Oh, boy, that's a wonderful thing. Amen. Most people are in bondage. They maybe would kind of like to get out of some of their habits. Maybe some of their addictions really bother them. But unless God frees them, they're under that bondage. And they don't know how to be loosened. But praise the Lord, there's something we can do. We can give the Lord our heart, and we can praise Him. We can worship Him, and God will do wonderful things on our behalf. Oh, I imagine if you're bound by those addictions, you give your heart to the Lord, and you praise Him, you worship Him. I have a feeling those addictions will go. In the name of Jesus, they will go. Amen. I believe that. Praise the Lord. God wants His people to praise Him. That's expected of God's people. Let's look at Ephesians now, the 5th chapter. Let's look at verse 18 here for a moment. Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Oh my, He wants us to be flowing, filled greatly with the Spirit of God. He wants that abundant life to be largely within us. So we're not to be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, the Holy Ghost. And then it says in verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. There's something that comes forth. The children of the Lord have a song in their heart. If you've been freed from the enemy, oh my, we have something to sing. You know, when they crossed the Red Sea there, when Moses led them across the Red Sea, and they finally got across, what did the Hebrews do? They worshiped the Lord, didn't they? They saw what had happened to the Egyptians. They were all drowned in the sea. Their chariots went down. The Lord closed the waters and the Egyptians tried to cross. And they had a song to sing. The Israelites had a song to sing when they were on the other side. It was a song of praise. Miriam led the women in song. And they were worshiping the Lord. But they had been freed from the enemy. And they realized it at that moment. And it was a moment of great rejoicing. But if God has set us free from bondage of sin, then we too have great reasons to worship the Lord.
Amen.
And it says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. These are things that are expected of us as Christians. If we've been freed from the ways of the world, we can speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, things that just come up. Maybe the Lord will give you a melody to a psalm. Maybe He'll just give you a few words and suddenly you'll just be humming it or singing it, or it's filling your heart. Or maybe it's one of those old precious songs that we've sang again and again, but the Lord puts it deep within us. Oh my, so we can rejoice in the God of our salvation, so we can make melody in our hearts to the Lord. Praise the Lord. And it says, giving thanks always for all things. There it is again. We're to pray and rejoice and give thanks no matter what involvement, what distress, what problems are in our life.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord for his great deliverance to the children of men. Amen. Let's go to a familiar story in the book of Luke. If we could go to Luke 17 here for a moment. It tells us, it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And it says in verse 12, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Oh, here were some individuals. There was very little hope in their life. They were lepers, and they weren't allowed with the mainstream. They had to be set apart. They were in bondage, and they didn't know that there would be any deliverance. But Jesus came on the scene. Jesus came on the scene, and all at once they realized, Jesus can help us. Jesus can help us. And it says they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And praise the Lord, he told them what to do. When he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And so they did that. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. You see, they had to show faith at this moment. He didn't just say, be healed in this case. He told them what to do. He said, go show yourself unto the priest. If they wouldn't have gone on the way to see the priest, they wouldn't have been cleansed. So it was as they were on their way that they were cleansed of their leprosy. And verse 15 says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Oh my, the one that was a stranger to the household of Israel came down, realizing that he was healed and that he had to give praise and thanks to the one that had healed him. He realized the wonderful works of God, and it was in his heart. He, of the 10, was the only one to return and with a loud voice glorify God and fall at the face of Jesus Christ at his feet, and give him thanks, realizing what Jesus had done. And of course, Jesus said in verse 17, Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger, which makes me believe that the others were all Hebrews or Jewish people. And then this Samaritan was told in verse 19, and he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Oh, praise the Lord. He had faith that he showed, and he gave that praise and that glory, that worship to God. And God responded to the man Christ Jesus by making him every whit whole. That faith made him completely whole, and I believe his sins were forgiven him also. I do notice time and time again that when healings take place, also sins are also forgiven. I see the two work hand in hand, and there are scriptures we could go to verify that. But in this case, Jesus said to that Samaritan, thy faith hath made thee whole. Oh, what beautiful things happen when we're willing to offer those sacrifices of praise, those sacrifices of joy before our God. We could just live in praises. And all day long, we could be uttering with our heart praises to the Lord, no matter what happens, no matter how ridiculous things get at times, and how weary we get, and how crazy things seem at times. And we could just say, Lord, in spite of what looks so strange to me, I praise you. I worship you. I give thanks to you, Lord. Oh, I give glory to your name. All those wonderful things that he has done. Oh, my. He lifts those heavy burdens. He restores. He delivers. He saves. He heals. He'll do all of that. You know, it was just a month ago today. I check this. I was just thinking about this as I was preparing today, and it was April 22nd, and that morning I woke up with a frozen shoulder blade, it seemed. My shoulder didn't want to move at that point. It really hurt there at the area of my shoulder blade particularly, but it was like it was frozen. And it was quite a way to wake up because I didn't even know how I was going to do anything that day. It was like, wow, I don't know how I'm going to make it through this one. But the Lord had me get down on my knees. I was able to do that and talk to the Lord and cry out to Him. And it was amazing. And I noticed particularly when I praised Him that I could feel that healing virtue flowing. Praise the Lord. I could feel the Lord touching me. And I knew that the Lord had the answers and that He was going to help me. And praise the Lord. I was able to get up and go about my day, and the Lord had touched me. He had touched that shoulder when I praised Him, when I exalted Him, when I came before Him. You know, if He did that for me, He's going to do that for you too. If you render that fruit of your lips, that praise to the Lord, if you put Him first, if you seek Him with all of your heart, if you give Him your heart, all of those things the Lord will save. He will deliver. Oh my, He came to set us free. He came to heal us and to make us whole. Oh, I just love it when I see faith in people. I just love it when people will, you know, show faith. It's so beautiful. I remember, many years ago now, several years ago, we were in New York City, in Manhattan, actually, and I believe we were in Grand Central Station, and we were with a few others. We were just, I don't know if we were catching the train at that point, just what, all, but we were with several others at that moment right there. Maybe somebody was going to get on the train, and we were just accompanying them at the moment. But anyway, one man that we were with, I remember he just got us stopped there by a post, it seems, and all at once he said, "You know what? I need to talk to the Lord." And he just began right there at big Grand Central Station. He began to cry out to the Lord. He began to talk to the Lord. He began to worship the Lord. And he was praying a prayer of repentance. The Lord had put something on his heart that he felt like he needed to make right. And I thought that was so beautiful there in the midst of all the people coming and going, the left, on the right, everywhere, people, 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 people. But there he was, lifting up his hands, rejoicing in the Lord, crying out for mercy, not ashamed, approaching the Lord in such a beautiful, meek and contrite way. I thought that was so beautiful. And truly, we serve a God that's worthy of our praise. And it doesn't matter where we are, does it? We need to offer Him that fruit of our lips, that praise to our God. And I remember at one point my mom had almost died. She was, I think, in the nursing home, and it had been a really rough night. And that may have been the time when we really felt the presence of death in her room. And before we left, we rebuked that spirit. And praise the Lord, the next morning, Mom was way, way, way better. She was able to eat. I think perhaps she hadn't been able to swallow at that time. And it was so amazing here. The next day, she was so much better. But, oh my, I was so happy. And my mom was so happy. You know, people would come to my mother and ask her to pray for them. It was really beautiful. Here she was at her very weakest point in her whole life there in a nursing home, not able to really walk. But people would realize that Mom knew how to pray, and people would come to her and kind of share their burdens with her, and Mom would pray. And it was just such a beautiful opportunity that she had those last 2 years of her life. But this one day, I was with my mother, and I was so glad to see her so much better. And, oh, we both had just a beautiful time, just worshiping and praising the Lord there in the nursing home. And I know others heard us, but you know what? Sometimes, oh, it's got to come out. God's done so much for us. He's delivered us. And we're not ashamed of Him, are we? My, if we are, He's going to be ashamed of us. That's right. We've got to be willing to profess him before man. We've got to be willing to profess him before the angels. Otherwise, he's going to be ashamed of us. He's not going to profess us before the angels if we're ashamed of him now. But praise the Lord. I thank God for all those wonderful things. There's nothing. It feels so good to worship the Lord. It feels so good to praise him with all your heart and to just let go. Oh my, I remember a certain story. Perhaps Brother Lance told it, and that was overseas. It may have been in the Philippines. And there was that story where somehow there were people in a church. And outside there was some kind of insurrection or whatever all was going on. They were shooting at the people in the church. But praise the Lord, these people knew their God. And what did these individuals do? They worshiped and praised the Lord. They worshiped and praised the Lord. And you know what? Those bullets didn't hit one of them. Not one of them was injured at all. They were praising the Lord. The Lord took care of them. He delivered them. He saved them. He kept them. I'll tell you, wonderful things will happen when you praise the Lord. Oh my, when you render that fruit of your lips, you give praise to the Lord, he'll change your situations. Oh my, he could do it, and he will when we praise him with all our heart. Praise the Lord. Of course, we are probably familiar with that story about the boy that it was a church meeting, and one of the pastor's children had a seizure, it seemed like, and just, wow, it was not doing well at all. And the story is it was some kind of a special meeting, and there were many ministers there in that church, and one after the other, they all prayed for this boy who was having great struggles at the moment. And it seemed that nothing happened. They prayed and nothing happened. The boy still was having those seizures and not doing well at all. And finally, they decided that they would have to take him to the hospital. Well, the story is, Pastor Meyer was a young Christian at that time, and his friend Doug Phillips was also very young convert at that moment, and they were left behind. They didn't go with the others. And among them in that church building, I think perhaps it was in Shawnee, Wisconsin, was a man that wasn't very well esteemed. He was considered mentally challenged, and you know, people kind of ignored him. But this man with a so-called mental illness, perhaps, knew how to worship the Lord. And while those others were on the way to the hospital with the boy with a problem, this man began to worship the Lord. He began to praise God. He knew how to contact God. And David and Doug Phillips also followed suit. It's almost like this man kind of taught them how to pray at this moment. And all three of them then began to give praise and worship to the Lord. And the story is that this boy, as he was on the way to the hospital, that God healed him. God heard those prayers of worship and praise that came from the hearts. It wasn't going to be done with a fancy speech or with particular words, but it was going to be done through praise and worship. Oh my, Brother Tim told us about that beautiful story there in Acts, that 16th chapter, when Paul and Silas were put into prison. Their feet were held fast in those stocks. They had received all those stripes, and there they were, thrust into the inner prison. But the scripture tells us there in that 16th chapter of Acts that at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises. You know, they could have sat there. They could have been having a pity party. I mean, there was plenty to be sorry about. I mean, they must have been very sore from those stripes. I mean, they probably were terrible wounds up and down their back, bloody spots all over. I'm sure they were in pain. They could have sat there and lamented and felt sorry for themselves. But instead, they prayed and sang praises to God. They sang and prayed. Praise the Lord, oh my. And it says that the prisoners heard them. They weren't being quiet about it. They were just lifting their voices to God and offering that praise unto the Lord. And the prisoners heard them, but of course, beyond that, God heard them. God heard them, and we know what happened, don't we? Oh my, he sent an earthquake. God sent an earthquake, and it loosened the prisoners. It opened the doors, and they could have just got up and left. Of course, they didn't. But you know what? The Lord delivered them because they knew how to worship God. They knew how to pray. They put that first. They ignored the pain that they were in. All the desperate straits. They didn't know if they were going to get out of prison. They could have been executed after that. They didn't know what was going to happen, but they gave God praise. They gave God glory. Oh my, and the Lord intervened. Oh my. Oh, there's great victories when we praise the Lord, when we offer Him the fruit of our lips. Oh my, when we offer Him that perfected praise out of the mouth. A babe and suckling, thou hast perfected praise. Amen. Oh, my, that praise that comes forth. Yes. And of course, if we come to God, we have to come as a child, don't we? We have to have that simplicity, that eagerness, that desire, that simple faith that believes God at His word. And I'm speaking to Brother Lance again, and let's continue to pray for him. I don't have an update on his health, but I know that man trusts the Lord. And I know he had said that there in the Philippines that the Lord works mightily, it seems like. It seems like if people are sick and need healing, they just ask somebody to pray for them. They go to the elders of the church or maybe call upon another saint and have that prayer made, and God heals them. Brother Lance says, had told me at one point that when they go down in the water in Jesus' name, they're told to expect to receive the Holy Ghost when they come up out of the water. And they do. They come up out of the water speaking in other tongues as the Holy Ghost comes into their life because they believe God. They have that simple faith. And you know what? I'm sure they know how to praise the Lord. I'm sure that's got to be a great part of it. Oh, my. It's so beautiful when you can praise the Lord and give Him a heart. But you know, oftentimes there's that tremendous reluctance. I don't know why it is. Why people are so often held back and they don't offer that praise unto the Lord. I don't know why that captivity at times, though I know in my own life I couldn't really praise the Lord until He filled me with the Holy Ghost. It was like I was bound. I was a captive. But praise the Lord, one day He set me free. I'm so thankful. And praise God, life has been different since that time. And oh, it, like I said before, it feels so good to praise the Lord. As it says in Psalms 107, if you'd like to turn there, I'm going to go through a few verses. Psalms 107. It says in verse 1, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Oh, praise the Lord. It talks about how they were wandering. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. And He led them forth by the right way that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, praise the Lord. But verse 8 says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Oh, God will do so much for us if we'll just praise Him and thank Him. We can win those spiritual battles. This is definitely a way that we can fight. And it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We have something to declare. We have something to save. He's redeemed us from the hand of the enemies and gathered us out of the lands. And He's talking about spiritual bondage here. But then, oh my, God had been so good to the Hebrew people as this psalm continues. And it talks about so many of their troubles. Oh my, and they were often in trouble, so often. It tells, as I was just reading there, that fifth verse, hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. They were just wandering, and it seemed like there was no hope. But they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. Our God is so good. He hears those cries. When we cry with all of our heart, he hears those cries. And it says in verse 7, he led them forth by the right way that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh my, that city of habitation, aren't we all determined to go there? That city of habitation where the Lord is, that heavenly place, that dwelling where our God is. Oh my, the Lord makes it possible for us to go to that city of habitation, that dwelling place of the Lord. But here it is, and it happens again in this chapter several times. It's almost like a lament. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. This chapter continues, and it tells about more trouble that the Israelites were in. You know, it talks about they were in darkness, in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, and it was because they had rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High. They hadn't listened to God. And so he allowed them to fall into bondage. It says, therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. Oh, how good our God is. You know, how many times has he saved us? How many times has he spared us? How many times has he delivered us? How many times have we had to cry out to the Lord? Maybe something wasn't quite right in our life, and you know, maybe we were just in a state of rebellion, perhaps, even, or something wasn't right in the heart at all. And finally it dawned on us. We realized that if we would just give it over to the Lord, if we would just cry out to him with all our heart, he would help us. And God is so good. He helped them so many times. So many times. And it says he brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands in sunder. Oh, God did that time and time again for those Hebrew people. But then verse 15, oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness. Why is it so hard for people to rejoice in the God of their salvation? Why is it so hard for people to render praises to the Lord? He wants us to rejoice in him, to praise him, to worship him, to acknowledge him in all our ways. Amen. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Oh my, that very verse is repeated again in this chapter. Verse 21, there it is again. After he had sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. In verse 20, again, oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And then verse 22 goes along so much, so well with Hebrews 13, verse 15. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Oh my, there is something that the Lord expects from our heart. He expects those praises. Those Hebrew folks were told when Jesus was coming into Jerusalem there on that donkey that if these should hold their peace, even the stones would cry out. Immediately the stones would cry out if they would have held their peace. There is a time, there is a necessity that needs to be done. We need to worship the Lord. We need to give him our heart. We need to allow that perfected praise, oh my. As he said in that 21st chapter of Matthew, out of the mouths of babes and suckling, thou hast perfected praise. Oh, if we've been born again of the water and the Spirit, if we've been forgiven of our sins, of that iniquity, that praise can come from our heart. That praise, that perfected praise, because He's delivered us. He's set us free. He brought us up out of that miry clay and set our feet on the rock, Christ Jesus. As I close here, it says in Psalms 115, verses 17 and 18, "The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence." Those that don't know our Lord and God don't have that praise that comes up from the heart. They go down into silence. But there's a distinction between them and those that know God, those that have been redeemed. In verse 18, it says, "But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore." Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We've got something deep within. We can bless the Lord right now and forevermore. It's a praise that begins in the heart when we're set free from sin, when we are truly born again of the water and of the Spirit. That praise comes forth. That song that's in our heart comes forth. And it's forevermore. It's something that we can rejoice in continuously. In everything give thanks, for that is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We can thank God in all of our circumstances. We can render that fruit of our lips, that praise unto our God. We can give it to Him, that perfected praise that He expects from us. Oh, let's worship the Lord. Let's praise Him. Let's give Him that praise that He is so, He so deserves. Praise the Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We praise you. We exalt you, Lord. Oh, God, we thank you for what you've done for us. God, that you redeemed us, Lord. Oh, God, we thank you, God, that you've loosened us from our bonds. Oh, God, from the pains of death, Lord. Oh, God, from hell. Oh, God, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you that you've delivered us and set us free. Oh, God, we thank you. We rejoice in you. Oh, God, we praise you, Jesus. Oh, praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. You know, if you need to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, praise will lead you there. Praise will lead you there. Oh, amen. Praise will bring down the Holy Ghost in your life. Oh, praise the Lord. I remember tearing in services in the past. People not afraid to get up in front and pray and pray and pray until the Lord filled them with the Holy Ghost. But wow, that praise that comes from the heart when you reflect on the things that Jesus has done for you, how He's set you free and brought you out. All that praise that comes up from the heart brings forth the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord. It brings the Holy Ghost down. If you want the Holy Ghost, praise the Lord. Lift Him up. Rejoice in the God of your salvation. Thank Him for what He did at Calvary. Oh, tell Him that you love Him. Oh, that you love Him more than anything else or anyone else. Put Him first. Render those praises unto God. He will fill you with the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Shirley.
Praise the Lord.
That's wonderful.
Oh, thank God.
Oh, the Lord inhabits the praises of His people, don't He?
Amen.
Praise God. He inhabits the praises of His people. As it is, the Lord inhabits the praises of His people because He finds joy. It is something, a sacrifice that is received as a sweet savor before God. And it too becomes a balm of Gilead for our souls.
Amen.
Amen. So why don't we lift up our soul and praise God today. In closing, number 139, "Unto Thee, O Lord," in the chorus book. "Unto Thee, O Lord, to I lift up my soul unto thee, O Lord. Do I lift up my soul, O my God? I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed, let not mine enemies triumph over me. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed, let not mine enemies triumph over me. Praise God in heaven. Be dismissed unto prayer. Amen. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord.